When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody. It is 7 minutes past the hour. That is 11:07 because today there's no football or no football recap. No football yesterday. There'll be football next week and I'm going to be off. But anyway, welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number 404-872-0750. I'm awfully glad that I am on this week because, wow, what a week this has been. The stock market went up 425 points, roughly, a couple of odd points there, here and there. Mortgage interest rates fell again. They're now the lowest they've been in about a year and a half. And this is confounding all mortgage experts, but the mortgage companies are thrilled. They don't know what to do with all the business. People who, for whatever reason, waited to refinance have come out of the woodwork, have jumped off the fence, are doing whatever they're doing, and have decided to refinance. We saw that happening this week. There's another Ebola case in New York, but I don't know about you. I've been watching the coverage, and that woman who's like the head of the hospital who keeps talking about it, she's so reassuring. I feel like she's got it all in hand. So that was good news. It has just been, I don't know, breathtaking, what has gone on here. Oh, and then did you see what happened with Amazon? Oh, my gosh, a massive loss, like $500 million quarterly loss, way more, 10 times more than expected. So that was good. That company, which arguably now has about as much mass reach as possible and is continuing to go into all kinds of new businesses, is just losing ever more money. You wonder how that's happening. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I was just sitting here looking at Barron's this week thinking, good God, there's just so much going on. 404-872-0750. I want to talk a little bit more or a little later about refinancing because the average weekly interest rate on a 30-year fixed rate loan, lowest level since June of 2013, it's a little bit under 4%. Mortgage applications jumped 12%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, and most of it is people who are refinancing. We're still having trouble with buyers, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. 404-872-0750. Sherry's been holding since before the show even started, which is such dedication, it's got to be rewarded with an answer. Sherry, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you so much.
So what's going on with you today?
Okay, well, I'm debt-free, and I own my home.
Good
and
for you.
So it's a blessing. Followed your advice and other great people over the years. However, I'm moving from the Georgia area to North Carolina for a temporary position that would be at the most 5 years. So my question is, should I do a 30-year fixed mortgage, knowing I'm there 5 years, to deduct the interest, and then use the cash money to invest it to grow because it is temporary, or should I just go ahead after I sell my home and pay cash for the house in North Carolina?
So what would be the shortest time frame that this temporary position would be? And are you staying with the same company or are you changing companies too?
No, it's a different company, and the shortest time is 5 years. I mean, that's it. It's like it's a contract for 5 years and then it's over.
Okay, so you're definitely going for 5 years.
That's correct.
And what are you going to do with your house here in Georgia?
Well, it's for sale, and we should have a contract soon. So we'll have to make a decision within the next 30 days as to whether we want to just pay cash for the home there, because I don't know that we'll be able to build much equity over that time period, but we could deduct the interest, or if we should do the mortgage, at 4%.
Here's a no-brainer for you. I think what you should do is buy the house with a 10-year or a 10-1 mortgage. You could do a 10-1 mortgage for about 2.75%, maybe 3%. You would still have a lot of interest that you could write off. If you did it in a 10-year, you'd have, where you literally pay off the whole loan in 10 years, which basically, if you, you know, whatever you're going to write off, it's nominal, right? I mean, the interest rates are so low now that the amount of interest you're paying, even if most of what you're paying is interest, is nominal. So why pay more interest than you have to? You know, the write-offs are never as good as they sound. So instead, you know, you could do a 10-year, or if you really wanted to, you could do a 10-1 adjustable rate mortgage for whichever of those two loans is the lowest interest rate, and then just stack it with a 30-year amortization schedule so that your interest is all being paid up front. And if you did the 10-year, you know, in 5 years, you'd have two-thirds of the loan paid off, so you're building another chunk of equity while you're letting your money build up and be invested. So I think that those are the two best ways to go. I mean, these interest rates seriously are too good to pass up. You may find at the end of 5 years that you found something else to do and you want to stick around there. So then you'll have another paid off home 5 more years later, which is like literally sneezing and it's 5 years, right?
Right.
So I think you definitely take advantage of these interest rates. You know, cash is king, which gives, and you've got cash, right? So this gives you a lot of options. But when you're borrowing money at what is arguably zero, I don't know that it would be smart not to take advantage of that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Good luck with the move.
Thank you so much, Elise. Bye-bye.
Bye. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the Elise Klink Show. Why am I not hearing you? Greg, can I hear you now?
Hello? You hear
Hi.
Me?
Hi. Yes, I do. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, it's a beautiful day. What about for you?
I'm driving right this minute, but I've been looking at houses all weekend. My problem is I had a couple of rental houses a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
2008, and all the real estate bubble went down.
Yeah.
I lost them. I tried to keep the primary house, and then my ex-wife decided she wanted it. So
you lost it to your ex-wife, huh?
Correct.
And what have you been living in these last few years?
I've actually been traveling quite a bit, and I let my company pay for my living expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a house as of right now. I'm looking to buy one pretty soon. And is there going to be any real estate or any mortgage companies that will even touch me?
Well, it depends. When did you lose your rental properties?
The rental properties, I lost those in 2008.
Okay. So that's good. That's more than 5 years ago. And I assume when you say you lost your house to your former wife, you didn't actually do a foreclosure to her, right? She wasn't holding the paper. She just got it in the divorce settlement.
What I did was I screwed up and handed her a quitclaim deed, and she was supposed to put the loan in her name, which never happened, and they foreclosed on that home also.
Oh, lovely. So
right.
You really got screwed.
Yeah.
Okay. When? What year was that?
That hit my credit last year in May.
So I wish you'd been listening to me, a few years ago, because I talk about this all the time, that when people get divorced, they make this ridiculous mistake of quit claiming before somebody's gone out and gotten the refinance.
I think emotions took over more than anything.
Oh, yeah. Right. You thought by quit claiming it, you'd be done with her.
Correct.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. I'm sorry. But you've learned that, and you learned the hard way. I know, but
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with all of our listeners. There are 80, 90, 100,000 people who will listen and hear that this weekend and go, I'm not making that mistake. So thank you very much, Greg. So you're in a situation that's kind of tough because if it had just been the rental properties and it was 5, 6 years ago, you wouldn't really have a problem now. But you've got a bigger issue, and that's that you handed her a quit claim deed. She never refinanced, so when the houses went into foreclosure, they were in your name. So that's your problem. So
right.
Now, have you looked at your credit history and credit score recently?
I have. I joined LifeLock. about a year ago, and I've tried to monitor it pretty close, but it hasn't changed in the last 6 months. I've gotten it up to a beacon score to a 650,
okay,
and that's as far as it'll go. I can't get it to go any higher.
So what other mistakes or issues are on your credit score?
That's the only one that I can see is the primary mortgage on the one house.
Yeah. So you can write a 100-word statement that'll get attached to each of every credit reporting bureau is required to carry it. And you should write that, you know, the deal that was a judgment was that you were going to quit claim the house and she was supposed to refinance and she didn't and you had no idea that this was happening. It doesn't totally excuse you because, of course, you're always responsible for your own debts, but it does help lenders who look at it. You need to find a house that is owned by the owner, like Sherry, who just called in before you, who owned her own house, and it's up for sale, and she doesn't really need the money. And offering that person a higher than normal amount of money on the interest rate. So Sherry's going to put her money, if she puts it into a savings account, she'll earn well less than 1%. You know, if you offered somebody like Sherry, I'm not suggesting it is Sherry, right, but somebody like Sherry who owns their own home is debt-free, and you offer them 6%, even though I'm talking about interest rates with a bank, with the best credit score being 3%, you're not going to get that. But if you offer somebody 6 or 7%, that's so much more money. That's such a reasonable rate of return. And you guys figure out how to get that reported to a credit reporting bureau, what's going to end up happening is it will allow you to have the benefit of a loan without actually going to a regular mortgage. And so it will start to rebuild your credit. It will allow you to buy a house. You might also look at a rent-to-own or a lease with an option to buy. Same sort of thing where you negotiate on the price of the house today and they can start reporting your on-time payments, and some time will go by. The fact that you've had a foreclosure only means that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac aren't going to touch you for a few years. But there are all kinds of private lenders out there who have resurfaced, who are coming back into the fold, and that's going to be your opportunity, Greg. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a moment with more on The Elise Glink Show on News Talk WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
It's 11:25 on The Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours here on WSB. So I didn't mention my Twitter feed. It's at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And you should follow me there because there's all this great information that I talk about on the show, but there's also information about my new video show called Big Money Real Estate. And Big Money Real Estate is going to be on the Whatever It Takes Network, also known as WIT Nation, which Grant Cardone is doing. Grant's been a guest on this show. He's kind of a wild guy, like big, old life size, bigger than life, I don't know. Really smart, smart guy. And you've probably seen him on things like Shark Tank and some of the other shows he's been on. And he hosts a show as well. But he's decided to create a collection of people like me who have some really specific points of view on life and investing and money and sales. He's really a sales-driven guy, right? You've met these guys. They could sell sand to a camel. They are incredibly focused on getting the deal closed. I wish I was a little bit more like that. I'm just a little, you know, I'm like, if I give you the right information, I feel like you'll make the right decision, but I'm certainly not going to shove it down your throat, right? That's not my style. But Grant really understands how to connect with those emotions that get people to trigger a buy from them, which is interesting. Anyway, so Whatever It Takes Nation is coming up. But we talk about all kinds of stuff on the Twitter feed. So last week I mentioned you ought to follow me on Twitter because we have all this kinds of information. I was putting out all kinds of URLs, which I do every week. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. That is the Twitter feed. And you'll see all kinds of stuff. In fact, one thing I wrote this week is why borrowing from your retirement to pay for your kids' college education is probably the wrong move to make. Anyway, when we come back, I'm going to talk about mortgage interest rates and my four rules for a home run refinance, because the biggest group of people who decided this week that they were going to take advantage of falling interest rates, people who need to refinance. I can't believe there's anybody out there who has not refinanced in the last 5 years, but apparently I'm wrong again. So let's talk about the four rules for a home run refinance and what else you need to watch out for in the mortgage market next on the Elise Kling Show. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
11:35 on the Elise Glink Show. I love this song. I should wish everybody a happy Halloween, which is Friday. Have a safe and scary Halloween. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time at thinklink.com, my YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips, and, of course, on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, so mortgage rates tumbled this week, shockingly enough. This is such a shock to somebody like me who has been watching mortgage interest rates, and it is such a sign that our economy is not out of the woods. And all the volatility that we have seen over the past 2 weeks in the stock market just speak to that. And just look at what's going on with companies like Amazon or with Netflix. Netflix is a company that is disappointing with the number of people signing up and what they're buying, and yet the amount of option trading that's going on with Netflix is insane. It's just insane. People are making money on options, more money, way more money on options than Netflix is actually making as a business. That should be a sign for you that the stock market is really unstable. Really unstable. Anyway, the bond market knows that something's up, and that's why we're seeing mortgage interest rates continue to tumble. And did you see what happened in Europe over the last week? They finally released, you know, Europe is just literally in the toilet. They are in a situation where they're either facing recession or they're in recession. That's really all that you can say about it right now. And so when you look at Europe and you look at the banks there and you think to yourself, what could possibly be happening? We woke up to the news that 25 banks in Europe failed their stress tests. Do you remember the stress tests that our banks went through? I was sure that this was all rigged. I was assured that it was not, but it seemed to me that it was all rigged. Anyway, they all passed, or most of them passed, or whatever. And yet the ECB, the European Central Bank, said on Sunday that 25 banks fell short by over $31 billion on a measure of their ability to withstand another European crisis. So if something really big happened, not that something really big isn't already happening over there, but if something really, really big happened, you know, 25 banks would go out of business, which is okay, because there are thousands of banks over in Europe, just like there are thousands of banks here. But it's really not great news. Anyway, the bond market has been bidding down mortgage interest rates. And so what we're seeing, the yields are ridiculous. They're where they were a year and a half ago. And it's hard to understand how we're going to reverse this. And everybody, literally everybody, thought mortgage interest rates would be going back up. So mortgage interest rates being down is a good thing for people who own houses. It's a really lousy thing for anybody who lives on fixed income, because fixed income is all about cash and making do on your cash. And when all of these people who are now living on a fixed income was thinking about where they were going to retire and how they were going to pay for retirement, then they were thinking that they would be able to get more than 0.01% on their money, and they can't. I mean, I don't know anywhere that you can really get reliably more than a couple of percent on your money for sure not in a bank where if you're getting 0.95, and I did say 0.95, so less than 1%, if you're getting that, that's about the best you're going to get, and that's with a few of the online banks. But if, you know, 40 years ago, you were socking away cash thinking that you were going to live on the interest, and no. In fact, it's been shown that you could take about 4% out per year in a normal interest rate environment and not outlive your money, and no longer. That number has been scaled back. And so if you were planning on living on $40,000 a year and you had $1 million, even $750,000, and you were going to live on 4% of that a year, you probably wouldn't run out of that money. And yet now you're having to do with 2.5% to 3%, and that's a lot less. And prices are really going up. I know what they're saying about inflation, but I'm here to tell you that for the real world, inflation is rising. Now, this week, gas prices are ridiculously low again, so it's going to affect inflation. It affects all kinds of things. But the bond market has bid interest rates to a place because of the instability and what it says about our underlying economy. Of this, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, it's good news if you are looking for a refinance. So good for you. And here is how I want you to think about refinancing. So my colleague Angus is refinancing his house, which he bought, he thinks, on the very worst day that you could buy a house in Detroit. It's not in Detroit proper, where I think houses are basically worthless, or at least tens of thousands of them are. He bought it in a nice suburb around Detroit. Anyway, he is getting a refinance on a 10-1 adjustable rate mortgage for 2.75%. The loan is, I think, a 15 or a 30-year amortization. I talked about this loan earlier, right? A 10-1 means it's fixed for 10 years, and at that point, it'll adjust. The nice thing, though, is the interest rate is so low that if he just continues to make the payments that he's been making, his 30-year amortization will actually be something like, I don't know, 12 years. So at the end of 10 years, he might be able to just pay off the loan in cash, and he'll have almost no additional costs going forward. So that's actually a really smart way to move. And it falls in line with my mantra, which are four rules for a home run refinance. So let's go over those right now, because I think that they are incredibly useful to somebody who I think has mortgage debt and wants to take advantage of this, right? So rule number one. Lower your payment. Okay, that seems reasonable. If you're going to refinance, there, you know, and you can lower your payment, that's great. Number two, lower your interest rate. So that's obviously excellent if you can lower the interest rate and you can lower the payment. Those are two really important pieces of refinancing. But sometimes when you do that, you're stretching out the length of the mortgage, and that's how you get to rule one and rule two. So rule three for my home run refinance is shorten the loan term. What can you do about shortening the loan term? Because every month that you do not pay a mortgage saves you that month's payment, right? So if you take a 30-year loan and you have 23 years left, okay, so you've paid down 7 years, refinancing back to a 30-year mortgage means you've added on another 7 years. Now, maybe you've added them on at a seriously low interest rate. Okay, that's cool. But it's not as good as going from, say, 23 years left to 15 years. Going from 23 to 15 years is 8 years of savings. And if the payment, the new payment, let's say, is a little bit less than you were paying, so let's say you were paying $1,500 a month, and now you're going to pay $1,200 a month. Shaving off those 8 years saves you 12 times 1,200, right? 12 months in the year times $1,200 a month that you're paying, times 8 years that you're not paying it. And you can see how very, very quickly that adds up to some serious change. So lowering the interest rate, lowering the payment, shortening your loan term. The fourth piece of this, the fourth rule, is watch your refinance costs. At the height of the mortgage crisis, we were seeing people offer to be refinanced, but the price was really high. People were calling the show and saying, I just got offered a refinance, but it's like $10,000 in fees. What am I supposed to do about that? I said, negotiate. Go see lender two, lender three, lender four, down the street, online. You know, there's lots of different places to get a quote for a refinance. It's not as though you're doing anything truly exotic with a 30-year fixed rate loan or a 15-year fixed rate loan or a 10-1 adjustable rate mortgage. I mean, those are not exotic mortgages. So go compare them. I mean, you still have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac buying like 90%+ of all the loans out there. So go get some other quotes. I don't know what people are sometimes very afraid of getting quotes on their mortgages, as if they make a phone call and somebody answers a question and now they're committed for life. You're not committed for life. You have the money, you make the rules. So by shopping around for your mortgage, what you're really doing is getting uber smart, right? You're the one who's saying to lender A, this is all great, but lender B has offered me this minus $500. And to lender B, you're like, yep, lender A offered me this, you've offered me this, but lender C has offered me you minus $1,000. Now, you can't make it up. These guys all know each other. They're online, looking around, calling. They're doing what you're doing, but they're doing it just to make sure they're competitive. But if you get these, you know, if you shop around and you start pitting lender A against lender B against lender C, you're going to end up with the best deal. Because that's how super savvy shoppers do it, right? So four rules for a home run refinance. Number one, lower your mortgage interest rate. Number two, lower your monthly costs. Number three, shorten the loan term. Number four, watch how much you're paying for the deal. You always have to watch that bottom line. All four of those things, it's a home run refinance. You don't even have to call me. You don't have to ask. Just do it. Do it and then call and tell me how great it is and how much money you've saved. Or tweet it to me at @glink or send me something at questions@thinklink.com so I can share the story. What happens if you only get two of those three? Well, it depends on which two. And it may be that for your personal finance situation, getting just one of those three is the right move, one of the four. So what would that be? Well, if you can lower your payment, even if you add on loan terms, even if you're not really lowering the mortgage interest rate, even if you have to pay something folded into the amount of the mortgage, but it's going to allow you to keep your house, no problem. Keep your house. Do the deal. Sign the paperwork. So it all comes down to where you are and what you're doing. 404-872-0750. That is our phone number. Lines are wide open. 1-800-WSB-TALK. What do you want to talk about? I'm here to help you. 404-872-0750. It is 1148 on the Elyse Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elyse Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
11:53 on the Elyse Glink Show. Happy Halloween, everybody. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. All right, so I said the lines were open. Now they're not. We've got a whole bunch of people hanging on. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the Elyse Glink Show. What's going on today?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. What's new?
I have a question. You address a lot of strategic information about if you actually have, you own the home and it's your home, mm-hmm. as far as not being a rental property. But I have a rental property where I'm upside down, and I just wanted to know what would be some of the strategic ways of trying to get a rental property refinanced, because I see that more lenders are not so willing to refinance for rental properties like they would for if it was just your home that you actually lived in.
So how many lenders have you talked to about this?
I've talked to the lender that I actually have the loan with, and they did do a modification about 5 years ago, and that actually ends this year, which really lowered the amount that I paid, but then it goes back to the amount that I was paying 10 years ago, because I think I've had the rental property over 10 years. And when I talked to them again, my income went up significantly, so they're not willing to do the modification anymore because I didn't qualify for that.
Because you make too much money.
Because I make too much money.
And is it rented?
It's not rented because it needs a lot of rehab work on it, and I haven't been able to save up enough money, and I didn't really want to necessarily go through the insurance to get that done because it was broken into a couple of times.
And why didn't you want to go into the insurance? Because you thought you'd lose your insurance?
I thought I would lose my insurance, and I actually did on that property, and I think I pay about triple the amount that what I'm supposed to pay just because of that. So I don't want to end up having to pay even more if I do lose the insurance.
Okay, you've got to get this property rented because you're not going. If you're underwater, you're not going to be able to get another modification. You can
right.
go to Making Home Affordable and see if somebody else will rent it, but it's a unrented property. And you've got nobody renting it right now, and I don't know what you need to do to it, but you're obviously making too much money to qualify for a modification. So
right.
getting you know anybody else to refinance you is not the way things are going to happen right now. What you've got to okay. do is do the bare minimum to get this property in rentable shape, or you have to sell it. And if you have to sell it at a loss, it's better than what you're doing now, which is having a loss anyway.
Right. Okay.
So how long has it been vacant?
To be honest with you, at least 3 or 4 years.
What have you been doing with this thing, Tracy?
trying not to think about it like
that
it would go away,
okay.
but I know that's not the right answer either.
That is so not the right answer. You know, being, you know, having your head in the sand, now you're 4 years down the line, people are less willing to help. Now they're looking at you like, oh, she's a greedy landlord. She just wants something for nothing. Whereas 3, 4 years ago when everybody was in that situation, like there was more help available. So
right.
you've done yourself a disservice by sticking your head in the sand, and you're stuck, and you're not getting unstuck anytime soon until you address the real issue, which is what is the bare minimum, or in the tech world, they call this the minimum viable product, right? MVP. What is the MVP for this property?
Okay.
What do you need to do to get this thing rented? Because even if you rent it at a below market rate, you're likely to get a better tenant. And at least you've got some income coming in. So once you've got income coming in, you look like a much stronger investor than somebody who's sitting there with an empty property for 4 years that's deteriorating.
Right.
So you've got to get a plan together of what you're going to do for this property, or you're going to have to let it go, take the hit on your credit, and move on. Those are going to be your two options because
okay.
you've had a bank helping you. What did your interest rate go down to with the modification?
I don't know exactly. I think it's maybe 3%.
Okay, what do you mean you don't know exactly? Goodness.
Tracy. Mean, all I know is I pay half of what I used to pay, so I would think it's about 2 or 3%. It's not that much.
All I know is that you should read your loan document, sister. I mean, really? You don't know they've given you a gift for all these years? I bet you also don't know what this has done to your credit. Tracy, I'm giving you a plan of action. I want you to figure out what is the MVP, the minimum viable product that you can do with this house. What do you got to do to get it fixed up, to get somebody in there and rent it, girl? And then you got to go look at your documents and figure out how much your loan is going up this year, because it may only go up 1 or 2 percentage points, not jump up to where it was 10 years ago. And then you got to figure out what's next. Remember, a step in any direction at this point is a step forward for you. And I want you to call me back or email me or tweet at @Glink and let me know what you decide to do, all right? You can do this. Head out of the sand, face forward. 404-872-0750. Be back in a moment with more on WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
It's 12:06 on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. So we've had some back and forth about our last caller, and one person tweeted, really? she doesn't know what the interest rate is on her loan? How do people not know such things as the interest rates for their loan? Even as a kid learning about money, that question baffled me. Thank you, Eddie, for contributing that. It's so true. You really have to know what something costs. My favorite story about this is one about my mother. So years ago when Sam and I had first met, and I think I've said this before, it's like Sam and Clark Howard are like cut of the exact same mold. They are, you know, both of them, such brilliant people, and Sam always knows what things cost. Not what they appear to cost, but what they really cost, which is one of the things I just love about him. Anyway, my mother came home one day and said, oh, I bought a new car. I only paid $6,000. Sam said, no, really, what did you pay for the car? And she said, $6,000. And he said, okay, what did you do there? Let's walk it back. And, you know, so of course she had traded in her old car, and she'd gotten a credit of, let's say, $25,000 for the old car, which was not that old. And then she needed to pay an extra $6,000, voila, to get the new car. So in her mind, she'd only paid $6,000 for the car. And in Sam's mind, you know, that car cost, like, say, $32,000. And it's interesting how we fool ourselves into thinking what something costs when they actually cost a whole lot more. 404-872-0750. We've got loads of interesting people to talk to. Jenny joins me on the line. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So what is your question today?
My question is to see kind of a strategy to take besides, I guess, what we've thought about. We purchased a home back in 2007. We were one of the least expensive in the neighborhood at that time. However, since that time when the market crashed, we are now, you know, one of the other happy few, seven or eight, that are very much still underwater. We have an interest-only loan. It's with Wells Fargo Private Equity, 6.75%. They don't want to do anything to help us besides, of course, we'll come out and appraise your house. You're like, well, it's $250,000. At this point, it's come up a little bit. It's only $250,000 upside down. And, you know, our situation is we're getting older. We have money, some money for retirement, and we have made every payment, never missed anything, but it's trying to figure out what's the best strategy. The only one I've come up with is I'm just going to make my life bigger to save more money to either pay it down enough to give them $250,000 to be able to refinance the house.
So you're paying
toward principal.
All right, let's jump in for a second. So you have a private, what kind of a private equity loan? Did you do something that where you pledged like assets to this?
No, it's part of their, it's with Wells Fargo. It was through a mortgage broker. It was sold to Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo has it within a fund that they have, which is, It's a private equity. I've you know, as I've talked and tried to get down to, you know, what kind of program it is, whatever.
So they didn't resell it. It's not resold to Fannie Freddie, and they're just servicing it.
No, it's not a Fannie or Freddie loan. I wish it were.
So it's held within their own portfolio.
Yes.
Okay. And how underwater are you?
$250,000.
So what'd you pay for the house?
$760,000.
You bought it the day the market topped out.
Pretty much.
Okay. Nice. It's nice to have timing, you know, any way you look at it, right?
Yeah, I don't love it.
And you think the house is worth now about $500,000?
Yes.
So you're
under... neighbors in my neighborhood, there was one beside me at 1.3. They were building at 1. whatever. This was one that the builder had just, you know, he had started a couple of, two more, and they were kind of sitting. I sold one up the street for $850,000. So again, but now they're in here building. They started at $399. They're up to about $460, $475. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably around $525, $550.
Okay, but your house is much nicer than the house going for $460, right?
Correct.
Okay, so there are still houses in the neighborhood selling it above where you are.
No one. Not even in our county, in Waltham County. I mean, there are, but in Waltham County, if you're looking at something at $750,000, you're probably looking at something on 20 or 30 acres, not two. Could be even a little bit bigger than my house, you know, could be. But, you know, so no, none of the more expensive homes have sold. Nobody's put them on the market. Everybody's
okay.
Just sitting tight.
So yep. Let me ask you a question. When you bought this house for $760,000 and you took out an interest-only mortgage, What was your end strategy? What were you thinking here?
Okay. We actually had been buying properties, mostly land, but we had bought land and flipped land. And the goal was we had sold our primary residence. We had moved into another house for 2 years, sold it, made money, actually bought a house in Montana, held that for a couple of years, sold it, made money on it. And so at the market, the way this was going, and with this type of community in Walton County, there were very few like this. Our goal was to move in, be here for a couple of years, and then be able to move to where we thought we wanted to retire to. And so basically make some money on it and move on.
So you got caught with your pants down.
Exactly.
Okay. So what do you want to do now?
Well, you know, I guess the sad part is for a long time, you know, our values of just the ethical thing to do is we were going to do, you know, what we needed to do to make sure we were, you know, keeping up the commitments that we'd made. I own a lot that's underwater that we're paying for. We have some farmland we're paying for. So, again, all of those things knowing, but the two piece of property actually will probably come out and be okay at some point. But the strategy is either to figure out, I mean, again, we can't walk away. I need my credit for the business that I'm in. And so it's either, A, you know, do you create a bigger life? Are there going to be, do you see programs coming out?
What do you mean, Jenny, when you say create a bigger life? What do you mean by that?
Look for different ways of, like right now, I am partnered with a builder and we're building houses. So what I'm doing is trying to figure out a way to make more money in my life, because the only other way I know to do it is to save an additional $250,000, give them, you know, go to somebody, refinance the house, make a down payment, even though you're still underwater, and then just pay for your house like you would. You know, instead of walking away, like so many people did.
Can you rent this property?
Not for the payment.
Okay. So you've made a lot of money in other places. What's happened to all your money? You've just reinvested it in other opportunities?
Either reinvested it or, again, reinvested in other things and, you know, just some other things that didn't work, put it that way. I'm not going to go into details of those, but decisions that were made. But, you know, again, it's trying to figure out which way would create something different to happen. And, you know,
Do you have any investment that actually is super successful right now?
Actually, the building is. And then my, you know, our retirement, you know, is making money. But, you know, we've been limited about what we could continue contributing to that. And so that was really the strategies was to, you know, trying to figure out, you know, A, if we could get rid of the other two pieces of property and which, you know, then you could put that money back into retirement. I guess the other question is that goes along with this is that this company, where other people were getting notices of, hey, we're converting your loan and here's your payment. This company sent us a statement that said, hey, we're extending your loan to 2034 at your continued rate. So I guess
So you got a gift.
Well, it's a gift. And the other thing is I guess questioning, and I would have to look at the loan package of it, is that would it be, quote, wise to, if there's no prepayment penalties or whatever they would call it, to just, if I've got an extra $2,000 or whatever it is per month, $5,000, whatever, to start just paying down until there's some equity in the property?
Yes, you should have been doing that for 4 years.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so, you should have been doing it since 2007. So you clearly were trying super hard to max out every additional, you know, wring every additional piece of leverage out of your life.
Right. Well, and I was in real estate and I sold land to developers.
Hey, Jenny,
so every bit of my business came to a halt. So
It's. I'm going to talk for a minute. So you have now put yourself into a place of extreme stress. And when you talk about getting older and how you're trying to rethink things or you're going to make a bigger life, all you're doing when you talk about make a bigger life is just leveraging up. And what you're trying to do is leverage up to a place where you're going to be able to afford to pay everything off and have it all work out. That's winning the lottery. I'm not in the lottery business. I don't think you should be in the lottery business. Because you're at a place where it may not work out and you're not going to have enough time to recover from it. And that is the sad truth about so many people who got caught at the height of the market, buying and trying to flip and trying to flip and trying to flip. And basically, there was no chairs left when the music stopped for you with this property. But you're in such an amazing situation in that Wells Fargo is not going to call this loan anytime soon. This loan has been extended all the way out. It's only 6.75%. And if you've got $5,000 in free cash every month, that's $60,000 a year. And in five more years, you're going to have paid down that $250,000 without dipping into your retirement account, without doing anything else, just with free cash. You're going to get to even, and within 5 years, your house is going to be worth more anyway. So you made a bad, bad investment, but it sounds to me like your way out is just going to take time. So if you can create a bigger life with having $5,000 extra a month to put towards this loan, there's no faster way you're going to get out of it. You know, as long as you're underwater and you don't have a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, you're not going to get to refinance under Making Home Affordable. You wouldn't anyway at this price point. So I think you're kind of at the take your medicine point of view. You've got a way out. It's just going to take a lot more time than maybe you had imagined, which is sad. I wish it didn't have to be that way, but you kind of boxed yourself in. So I'm all for creating bigger life if you can do it without putting every single thing that you've worked so hard for at risk all over the country. And if not, then this is not a bad way out. And 5 years passes quickly, and I hope for you it passes like lightning. 404-872-0750 on the Elyse Glink Show. It is 18 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more of your questions on the Elyse Glink Show. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elyse Glink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
All right, we've got our WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack. It includes, it's a great one this week, a four-pack of tickets to the Apron Public Cooking School, November 1st at Publix in Alpharetta, courtesy of Bush Beans. A family four-pack of tickets to see the Gwinnett Gladiators versus Toledo on November 2nd at Gwinnett Arena. A four-pack of tickets to the Great American RV Show, November 5th through the 9th at Georgia International Horse Park in Conyers. And a pair of tickets to see Philip Phillips in concert, November 6th at the Atlanta Symphony Hall, presented by ASO Presents. It's a $400 prize pack. Pretty awesome for Halloween. We'll give it away to the spooky seventh caller, 404-741-0750. Good luck. All right, 26 minutes past the hour. Trish joins me on the line. Trish, you want to know if you should refinance your loan because you're for 30 years because you're 70 years old? Is that what you're thinking? 100 years old, you'll get it all paid off?
Well, yeah. Here's the question. I have a 4.6% loan. I refinanced, I don't know how many years ago. When we built the house, it was 5.8. Good rates came out. We refied at 4.6. Got the payments down from, let's say, 1,100 to 960. The house is worth about 250. We owe 150.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, they're offering, you know, I got people calling me at 3.8, and the rule of thumb always used to be, hey, if you can refi at, you know, 1%, 1.5%, it's a pretty good deal. I'm wondering about the closing costs and all of that stuff. Once you roll all that in, I just can't believe that they can save me $200 a month, you know.
Yeah. But they're stretching you out. It's totally the wrong move for you. What you want to do is you want to follow my four rules for home run refinance, right? Lower the interest rate. You can do that. Lower your payment. You can probably do it. Shorten the loan term. This is the big one. Go for a 10-year loan at 2.75%, Trish. That's what you really want to do. You've only got $150,000 left. You probably could do a 10-year loan, be completely paid off by the time you're 80, paying the same amount or less, and you'll be done. I think that's what you should really go for. Everything else is just noise. And whatever you do, do not get another 30-year loan. That, for you, doesn't make any sense. 27 minutes past the hour on the Elyse Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. We're going to start with yours, or rather, we're going to start with everybody else who's hanging online. Next on WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It's only a movie.
It's 12:35 on the Elise Glink Show. So funny. Rebuilding America one house at a time. I'm Elise Glink, 404-872-0750. We're answering people's questions about mortgages, money, growing it, strategy, all kinds of cool stuff. Jeff joins me on the line from Brookhaven. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Elise. I've got a question for you. What do you think of taking out a reverse mortgage, not using the line of credit, and letting it grow, with the interest rate that accrues in the line of credit?
What are you letting grow exactly?
Well, what I'm told, when you take out a line, a reverse mortgage, unlike another type of mortgage, the line of credit grows at the same interest rate as your loan amount, as your loan interest. So if you don't use the line of credit, and let's say it's at 3%, your line of credit grows at 3%. And as interest rates, if they go up, it's because it's a variable rate, as interest rates do go up, if you've left that money alone in the credit line, it's growing at the prevailing interest, which could become significant over time. I'm just wondering if that's not a viable investment vehicle, and also a hedge against market collapse.
So I have to tell you, I've never heard that in all the years that I've been covering reverse mortgages. I've never
heard that the actual credit line grows at the interest rate.
No.
That's what I was told, and that's what I've seen in writing as well.
If you've seen it in writing, that would be really interesting. I'd love to see it in writing, but that is not what I've been told. The only way to then take out the money, right, is to then, I mean, how would you ever cash that in?
Well, if you took money out of the credit line, then you're not only incurring the interest on the loan, you're also not getting the interest on your money that's with the servicer. That's another issue. It's not a bank it's held by the servicer, which makes me nervous.
Yeah. So you've got a line of credit. Just think about a regular home loan, right? You take out a line of credit, you don't pay anything until you use it, right?
Right, but in a reverse mortgage, that line of credit, which is a set amount, according how you go about which differing type of program, there's different types of these reverse mortgages. If you get the one where you have after 2 years, 60-70% of your home equity in the line of credit, that money grows at the same rate as your mortgage interest. In other words, if you borrow the money, you pay so much percent on the borrowed money. If you leave it in the line of credit, it grows at that same rate.
I totally get what you're saying. I have never understood that to be the case. So guess what? I'm going to look into it. And I'll let you know in the next week or two after I've had a chance to talk with the Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association.
And if you could also check into the what the government may have put in place to protect that money in case, with all the servicer fraud out there, and it's certainly not over, how safe is that money, and what will the government do to protect it if something goes wrong?
So I also would like to point out to you that you're paying to initiate a reverse mortgage, and the fees are pretty steep. So,
they're really not that. It's really, if you really look at the numbers and the potential long-term benefits and everything else, it doesn't look to me to be such a big deal. It really doesn't.
Okay.
If you can accrue that interest over years.
I will take a look, and I shall report back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good afternoon. 404-872-0750. Put that on my things to do list over the next 2 weeks. Cecily joins me on the line from Dunwoody. Hey, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Elise. How are you today?
You know, it's Sunday, and I'm talking to the favorite people in the world. All good on my end. What about you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to run a strategy by you. I am closing on my property next week, and my goal was to move to Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that Austin is, and I heard an article or someone told me that it's the third of five top markets in real estate. So it's in a bubble. And the prices are very inflated, so I found that out. So I'm trying to figure out, this is not probably not the time to buy a home there.
Well, why are you, okay, let's back up. Why do you want to move to Austin?
I have friends there. I'm retired military, and I just would love to retire there.
Okay, so you want to retire to Austin, Texas, which I don't know why you think it's a bubble simply because it's growing. Austin itself is growing. You know, bubbles are created when people move to an area and bid up prices, but the income doesn't support the price increases. So neighborhoods where people are paying ever more money for property and they don't earn enough to actually support that, that would be problematic. But Texas has already got sort of lower property prices. In fact, my sister-in-law lives in Austin, Texas, and she sent us a picture of the house that she's buying. That house would cost twice as much or three times as much or four times as much in other neighborhoods in different places. In her neighborhood, it's totally affordable. You know, she's a teacher and she's buying a house that's affordable in Austin, Texas. So when you say to me that it's in a bubble, it strikes me that there always are opportunities, and you have to be very careful about what you're buying and where. But just because it's located in Austin, which is a really big spread out place, doesn't necessarily mean it's in a bubble. So
good to know.
So now what? Have you actually been down there and looked at property?
I wanted to kind of get a feel for pricing and what I could afford before I, you know, go out there. So I'm still working with an agent who's been very honest about what I'm looking for and what my budget can afford. So she's being very honest.
Okay. Well, I think you should think carefully about it. But if you think you want to move there, I would go and rent for a year. I would go rent and live there and see what it's really like before you've committed to buying a house there. You're not going to miss anything. It's not like, I mean, yes, mortgage interest rates are ridiculously low. They're near historic lows. It allows you to buy a little bit more for your money. But you're talking about retiring. You're talking about making a big move, right?
Yes.
And this is it. So why don't you go live there for a year and see if you like it? You may not like it. It's really, really hot in the summer.
That's true.
So
that's true.
Get on a plane or get in your car, go down there, and figure that out. See if your friends are really the people you want to spend all the time with. See if you can make a life for yourself there, what you're going to do day in and day out, who you're going to talk to, how you're going to get around, where you're going to go grocery shopping. And when you're there, you can actually see what these neighborhoods look like, not just houses. You know, houses on a spreadsheet or even on a plotted on a graph, you know, it's just not the same as being there and driving around a neighborhood, walking it, seeing who lives there, who's playing after school, who's there on a Sunday morning, who's in the local coffee shop. Those are the kinds of things that you need to do to figure out if you want to live in a place. I mean, you can't do it on remote, right? There are a lot of things you can do on remote. You can do radio shows on remote, right? Next week, Belinda's going to be at the Lobster Fest. But you can't actually decide where you want to retire via remote. You have to actually go to a neighborhood and experience it and see for yourself if a house that looks like a winner is actually a winner once you get there. And what may happen, Cecily, and I'm hoping this is the case for you, is that you figure out that the neighborhood your friends live in is affordable based on, you know, what size property you buy, where it's located, what you have to do to fix it up. And I think you'll find that there are lots more opportunities than an initial look with an agent may seem to offer. That's my advice.
That makes sense. That's great advice, Elise. Actually, it really is.
All right. So go forth and conquer Texas.
Thank you.
All right. Let me know how it goes. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We've got a bunch of open lines again. Wayne joins me on the line from Johns Creek. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you doing, Elise?
You know, it's a good Sunday, helping a lot of people. What's going on in your world?
Oh, just got back to take my dog from the dog park and sitting out the Kroger's parking lot calling in.
Nice.
And I just have a question. I tried to refinance my house with USAA about 2 years ago, and I told the mortgage lender to begin with, it looks like I'm very heavily in debt compared to my income. However, I have enough money in 401s and other types of investments like that to pay off all my existing debt. and I still have money left over in some of my other 401 programs. And so he told me not to pay off anything, but just go continue on with the loan process, which I did. Through the months, it took about 3 months, and I put up about $750 for appraisal and other types of monies that came along with that to pay. And then at the very end of it, when it came up time for me to make a decision, he came back and told me that I was too far in debt and my loan was denied. Well, I told him, I said, well, I still got the money. I can pay off all my loans right now. I have zero balance. He said it was too late since I already started the loan. And I was upset with him because I told him, I said, well, I told you that from the get-go. And now everything I wanted to achieve, you're telling me I can't have now. So my question is, I'm trying to save money. I work for the state of Georgia. We haven't had a raise in 7 years. So I'm living off of a paycheck, 7 years old in today's prices. So I'm trying to save monies monthly for another 6.5 years until I can retire. That'll max out my Social Security and my state pension plan. And I'll be making actually $10,000 more a year on retirement if I max them out. And so I was thinking about maybe trying to maybe refinance for 30 years, but then I heard you say something to a previous caller about 10 years would make more sense.
So that was the previous caller. So at the top of the show today, I gave my four rules for a home loan refinance, right?
I heard that. Mm-hmm.
But I also said that depending on your situation, any one of those might make it make sense for you to refinance. So for you, if you're trying to lower your monthly payment, a 30-year loan might make sense because your goal, you have an ultimate goal that's going to totally change your financial picture in 6 years, right?
Yes, I'll be in better shape, believe it or not, on retirement.
So that's really important. So if you can do that and you can end up saving an extra $200 a month, even though you've stretched out the number of years, that's important. My question to you is, what other debt do you have besides this loan?
Oh, I have credit card debts. I have some high veterinarian bills because I have a very sickly dog, and she needs treatment every month in order to live. So I do put a lot of money into her to keep her going. And so it's just credit card and veterinarians. But I can wipe all of them out and still have some money left over my 457 retirement with the state.
Okay. So if you are already, your debt-to-income ratio is out of whack, it's still going to be out of whack. So you have to decide what you're going to do. If you wipe out the 457, is it going to kill you for retirement or not?
No, not at all.
Great. Then you should even, and how old are you?
I'm 63.
Perfect. So you're 63 years old. That means you don't pay any penalties. You just have to pay the taxes. So I would find a way to pay off your credit card debt. Before I do that, I would make sure, actually, just pay that off. That's actually a really good thing. That's going to free up a whole lot of income for you, and you can start to rebuild with a Roth IRA if you want. So you can wipe that out. You're trying to refinance. Once you get that wiped out, before you do, just make sure that you can refinance. And there are lots of lenders that will walk you through the process without having you make it. But once you, you know, figure it out, refinance, get rid of that, and then lower the amount so that you can really stock up for retirement. And I think, to me, that's the right strategy. Let me rephrase. That's the right strategy for you, Wayne. That's not the right strategy for everybody else. But for you, to get an extra $10,000 when you actually retire, that would be amazing. And so, like I said at the top of the show, everybody's got to do what's right for them. And that's what makes this show so interesting, right? The question, should I refinance, spins in hundreds of different ways depending on everybody's individual personal financial circumstances. Your best money move, Wayne, is to try and pay off that debt and refinance. And if you know your debt-to-income ratio is too high, or you suspect it is, it probably is, so take care of that and then see if you can refinance after that. Check your credit first. 404-872-0750 on the Elise Kling Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Elise Link, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
It's 12:56 on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Here's a little fun fact about Ghostbusters. Harold Ramis, until he died this year, very sad, he lived in my neighborhood. And so he had a son who was, I think, a year older than my older son, Alex, and maybe one who's in between Alex and Michael. Anyway, we would go to basketball games, and he'd be hanging out with his kids, not scaring anybody, actually, but and a very, very lovely guy, just thoughtful and quiet and not at all what you would imagine a Hollywood big-time director, writer, producer was. And it made it a lot of fun for all of us because he just was such a cool guy to hang out with. So a lot of fun, and every time I hear the Ghostbusters song, I think about him. It's really nice. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. You know, we just have a couple of minutes left, so a couple of show notes. Next week there will be no show, well, at least not the Elise Glink show. There's football, and the football schedule is all kind of wacky, and then Belinda is going to be on with a live remote from Lobster Fest, so I get the week off, which is not so bad either. Nice to have a week off in the beautiful weather. But I will be back in 2 weeks, and in the meantime, if you haven't followed me yet on Twitter, I will say, lively conversation. I didn't hear from my friend in England, who normally is listening to the show. He must have been watching the Falcons game today. They were playing at Wembley Stadium this afternoon, England time, which was when the show was on here. So follow me. My Twitter handle is @Glink, @GLINK. You can always send me questions at questions@thinklink.com. I will take a look at all of them and try to answer as many of them as I can. I encourage you, though, to take a look at what we're doing over at our YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips. There's a website by that name as well, and, of course, over at thinklink.com. We kicked off the redo of thinklink.com last week. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by what you see. I've also got a big surprise planned for the beginning of the new year, and it's going to be called Best Money Moves. So look forward to that as well. All right. Music is playing, and that means my time is up. Time for me to go on a bike ride and enjoy this beautiful autumn afternoon. I hope you've done the same, or you're going to do the same. Get out, breathe the clean air. It all is all for the better. Makes you feel great about life. In the meantime, have a good week. Think carefully about what you do. Strategy is everything these days. And I'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours on WSB. Have a great one.